In 1956, a young man walked into Benjamin Graham's office with an unusual proposition. He wanted to manage money using an investment approach that seemed almost absurd. While Wall Street chased hot stocks and market momentum, he proposed buying companies trading below their intrinsic value and simply waiting. That young man was Warren Buffett, and his boring strategy would eventually make him one of the wealthiest people on earth. Value investing isn't about complex algorithms or predicting market movements. It's about something far more challenging: thinking clearly when everyone else is panicking and staying cautious when everyone else is euphoric. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Intelligence alone won't make you a successful investor. In fact, brilliant people often make terrible investors precisely because their intelligence becomes a liability. They overcomplicate decisions, fall in love with their own clever theories, and struggle to admit when they're wrong. The most successful value investors share three core attributes that matter far more than raw brain power: humility, flexibility, and patience. Humility means acknowledging that the future is fundamentally unknowable. This isn't pessimism, it's realism that leads to conservative assumptions and margin of safety thinking. When you truly accept uncertainty, you stop making aggressive bets that could permanently destroy capital. Flexibility allows you to avoid overvalued sectors even when everyone around you is getting rich, and to abandon cherished beliefs when evidence contradicts them. Patience, perhaps the rarest quality, enables holding periods measured in years rather than quarters, resisting the constant pressure to do something when doing nothing is the right move. Murray Stahl captures the essence. How can you buy something at a value price if it's desired by the world? True value investing is inherently contrarian, which means being comfortable while uncomfortable. The real question isn't whether you're smart enough to be a value investor. It's whether you can handle being wrong for long stretches while the market parties without you, and whether you can resist buying when your favorite stock finally becomes popular. Early value investing, as taught by Benjamin Graham, focused on cigar butt investing, buying extremely cheap companies based on tangible assets, taking one last puff, then moving on. Imagine finding a company trading for less than the cash in its bank account, even if it made buggy whips in the automobile age. This worked brilliantly in Graham's era, but had a fundamental flaw. Terrible businesses rarely become good investments, no matter how cheap. Warren Buffett's evolution illustrates this shift. His partnership initially bought deeply discounted companies regardless of quality, but he recognized that paying fair prices for exceptional businesses generated far better returns than buying mediocre businesses at bargain prices. This evolution dissolved the false dichotomy between value and growth investing. Growth isn't the opposite of value, it's a component of it. A company growing earnings at 20% annually deserves a higher price than one growing at 2%. The critical question isn't whether a company is growing, but whether you're paying a reasonable price for that growth. When growth expectations become excessive, disciplined value investors walk away. When quality companies temporarily stumble, value investors see opportunity. The art lies in distinguishing between permanently impaired businesses and temporarily misunderstood ones. Warren Buffett's philosophy: return to a restaurant with a good sandwich rather than risk somewhere new. This captures operating within your circle of competence. Develop deep expertise in a few areas where you can accurately assess outcomes. Successful investors' biggest failures share a common thread: venturing outside their competence circle. The lesson isn't avoiding unfamiliar territory, it's recognizing when you're guessing versus genuinely understanding. As Julian Robertson noted, you don't have to be better than everybody everywhere, just better than everybody in the league in which you play. Markets remain inefficient not from lack of information, but because humans make predictable emotional mistakes. We're wired for pattern recognition that sees non-existent trends, overconfidence that inflates our abilities, and recency bias that extrapolates recent performance indefinitely. These behavioral quirks create permanent opportunities. When a growth stock misses earnings by 2 cents, it often plummets 30% as momentum investors flee, rewarding patient investors who distinguish temporary disappointment from permanent impairment. The most successful value investors leverage longer time horizons as competitive advantages, while institutions measure success quarterly, creating remarkable discounting of favorable long-term developments. Financial databases and screening technology have transformed investment filtering, though top investors vary dramatically, from avoiding screens entirely to near total automation. Screens provide honesty about numbers that disciplines emotional decision-making. Traditional value screens focus on price-to-earnings ratios, price-to-book value, and dividend yields, while sophisticated approaches identify patterns like increasing returns on capital or insider buying. The best opportunities have contrarian potential. Expectations are low, but you see a different future. Or strong companies remain profitable at cyclical troughs while competitors struggle. Successful investors employ creative information gathering, reading trade publications to spot trends before financial statements reflect them, setting keyword alerts, buying single shares of microcaps to receive reports directly, and tracking new lows lists as fear indicators. Many focus on smaller companies with less institutional competition and extreme price dislocations. The critical differentiator is variant perception, understanding what the market believes and articulating why that consensus is wrong. First-level thinking asks, is this a good company? Second-level thinking asks, is this a good company that the market underappreciates and why? Great opportunities emerge from uncertainty, spin-offs triggering immediate selling, bankruptcies where stigma overwhelms restructuring analysis, or broken growth stories where temporary stumbles trigger wholesale abandonment. Successful investing distills to one principle: what you pay relative to what you get. Overpaying guarantees poor returns, regardless of analytical brilliance. Value investors focus on cash flow rather than reported earnings. Earnings are negotiated numbers subject to accounting manipulation. Free cash flow, after maintenance capital expenditures, provides a more reliable measure of value creation. As one investor notes, a clever accountant can make financial statements say whatever he wants in the short term, but cash flow tells the truth. Sophisticated investors employ multiple valuation methodologies to triangulate intrinsic value. Discounted cash flow models, private market valuations, what a knowledgeable buyer would pay for the entire business, and market-based multiples adjusted for quality. The goal isn't precision, but establishing a reasonable range with a margin of safety. Most investors demand asymmetric risk-reward profiles, $3 to $5 of potential upside for every $1 of downside risk. They assess multiple potential outcomes and probabilities, ensuring that even if their base case proves wrong, alternative scenarios still produce acceptable returns. Portfolio construction reveals varied philosophies. Buffett and Munger advocate heavy concentration in best ideas, arguing this increases research depth and conviction. Others favor diversification for risk management. The right approach depends on your strategy, time horizon, and emotional constitution. Selling receives far less attention than buying, yet it's equally critical. We articulate buying strategies precisely, but describe selling vaguely, reflecting our preference for adding ideas over admitting mistakes. The best investors establish clear exit criteria up front. Effective selling disciplines are systematic and unemotional. Common triggers include price reaching appraised value, redeploying capital for better opportunities, permanently impaired earnings, or invalidated thesis. Many sell when their contrarian insight becomes consensus. Once everyone agrees, the easy money is gone. The crucial discipline separating great investors from good, exiting immediately when the original thesis is invalidated, rather than inventing new reasons to hold. If you bought for management and they depart, the reason for owning vanishes. If you bought for industry recovery that now seems unlikely, holding is just loss aversion. Cut losses quickly when wrong, let winners run when right. Risk management extends beyond position sizing to portfolio construction. Some stay fully invested, believing market timing is futile. Others view cash strategically, valuing it for maintaining sell discipline without pressure for borderline investments. Experienced value investors often define their circle of competence negatively by what they avoid. Businesses requiring specialized technical knowledge, companies dependent on intellectual capital, industries facing obsolescence, and concept stocks without tangible assets. The greatest obstacle to investment success isn't market complexity, it's the investor in the mirror. Behavioral finance reveals predictable biases that systematically undermine performance. Overconfidence, herd mentality, loss aversion, recency bias, and emotional attachment. Warren Buffett captured this perfectly. Success requires rationality when others are making decisions based on short-term greed or fear. Can you buy when everything looks terrible? Sell when everything looks wonderful? These questions of temperament matter far more than intelligence. The best investors genuinely love the intellectual game beyond financial rewards. This intrinsic motivation sustains them through inevitable underperformance and provides resilience against emotional decision-making. When you love the process rather than outcomes, discipline becomes natural. Value investing isn't about finding undervalued stocks, it's about finding yourself. It's developing the temperament to buy when your stomach says sell, to wait when everything demands action, and to admit mistakes quickly while maintaining conviction when opportunity appears. The beautiful paradox, value investing works precisely because it's difficult. The edge comes not from superior information, that's widely available, but from superior temperament, from thinking clearly when others panic, from patience to wait for compelling opportunities. The question isn't whether you can analyze statements. Those skills are teachable. The question is whether you can master yourself.